In your Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 15. We're going to spend the morning, a few minutes, just talking about this chapter. The years that I've been preaching, we've had a lot of people that have stopped and visited with us as a congregation. And sometimes they offer some comments. One of them was a little bit vocal, and I will paraphrase. He said, "You're weird." And I said, "How so?" He said, "It's just a backwards church." "Like what?" "You don't have a piano." "I noticed that you did a lot of Bible reading." And then went on a few other things. And I smiled and I said, "That qualifies us to be weird. In today's religious world, that is weird. What God wants us to be, that's not weird." People have a hard time when they visit because they're so used to all of the stuff that goes on in the name of religion. And I'm not about to change. Part of the reason is, if you'd like to discuss it with me later, privately or publicly, been there and done that. Was involved. Participated. But there are certain principles that God wants us to follow that will, in fact, make us different from other people. And I want you to read with me a story this morning. I never know how to approach these types of lessons because the whole lesson is taken from the 15th chapter of 1 Samuel. So I'm going to do something. I'm going to try to read it and not put you to sleep. But I'm going to ask you, take your Bible. There's one in the pew in front of you. And turn to 1 Samuel and just read along with me. Samuel said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people Israel. Now, therefore, listen to the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I have noted what Amalek did to Israel in opposing them on the way when they came up out of Egypt. Now go and strike Amalek and devote to destruction all that they have. Do not spare them. But kill both man, woman, child, and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." And so Saul summoned the people, and he numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 men on foot and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek, and he lay in wait in the valley. And then Saul said to the Kenites, "Go, depart. Go down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you along with them. For you showed kindness to all of the people of Israel when they came out of Egypt." And so the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites, and Saul defeated the Amalekites from Havilah as far as Shur, which is east of Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. And he devoted to destruction all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, the best of the sheep and the oxen and the fatted calves and the lambs and all that was good, and we would not thus utterly destroy them. All that was despised and worthless, they devoted to destruction. The word of the Lord came to Samuel. "I regret that I have made Saul king. He has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments." And Samuel was angry, and he cried to the Lord all night. And Samuel arose early to meet Saul in the morning, and he was told Samuel, "Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a monument for himself and turned and passed on and went down to Gilgal." Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed be you to the Lord. I perform the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, well, what then is the bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen that I hear? Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God. The rest we have devoted to destruction. Samuel said to Saul, stop. I will tell you what the Lord said to me this night. And he said, speak. Samuel said, though you were little in your own eyes, and you did not the head of the tribes of Israel, the Lord anointed you king over Israel. And the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and devote to destruction the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you pounce on the spoil and do what was evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I've gone on the mission which the Lord sent me. I brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and I have devoted the Amalekites to destruction. But the people took of the spoil and the sheep and the oxen and the best of the things devoted to destruction to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. Samuel said, as the Lord is great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. For rebellion is the sin of divination, and presumption is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you from being king. And Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and I obeyed their voice. Now therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. As you read through this, the main body of people that he talks about are a group that are called here the Amalekites or Amalekites. These were the descendants of Esau, the brother of Jacob. And they thus were a kissing cousin far removed from Israel, but they were part of the same family from Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And yet, when Israel came out of Egypt, the first people that they met in battle and war that withstood them and fought against them were the Amalekites. And when the Amalekites could not defeat them, they backed off, and as Israel went on their way, they came up from the backside and they attacked all of the strugglers and those that were weak and were unable to defend themselves. And they killed many of the Israelites in these types of attacks upon the people. And God remembered what they had done. And God remembered that Amalek did to you on the way when you came out of Egypt. How he attacked you on the way when you were faint and you were weary and cut off your tail and those were lagging behind. He did not fear God. And then God said again, therefore, when the Lord your God has given you rest from your enemies and around you in all the land the Lord God is giving you for an inheritance to possess, ye shall blot out the memory of Amalek. God noted their sin. And God said, because of their sin
and their rebellion and their war against God's people. He was going to destroy them. And he said in the book of Numbers, he looked upon Amalek and he took up his discourse and he said, Amalek was first among the nations, but the end is going to be destruction. Now, this was clear back when Moses was alive. And when we read in 1 Samuel, we've come down the road about 400 years. In those years, God had given these people time to amend their ways, time to change what they had done, time to change their attitude towards God and their attitude towards Israel. They lived near to the Israelites. They could have repented. They did not. One of the things that we begin noticing in this is that God is not slow about His promise, as we count slowness, but He was giving them an opportunity. And yet, 400 years, and their culture continued to go downhill as far as their religion and their concept of God and how they treated people. One of the most disgusting archaeological finds that we have found is that scattered throughout the area where they lived were monuments to their idol god, Molech, in which they simply brought their children, their infants, and they offered them alive in the fire unto their god. And what we have found along with those is literally thousands of bones of dead babies that were offered in religion unto their god. And our God is a jealous God that does not want to be represented in such fashion. Along with that, their religion was based upon fertility rites and associated with drunkenness and immorality. And what happened was God gave them 400 years, but they got worse and they got worse. And now God has pronounced a judgment upon them. Some people have questioned God's judgment. And I'm going to tell you what. Number one, you're not smart enough to question God's judgment. You don't know what they were like, not having watched and seen and understood their mentality and their religion and their culture and where it was going. Number two, as you begin setting in judgment upon God, you need to realize God was not arbitrary about this. God judged them on the very basis of their character and what they were like. But that's a whole other subject, because I'm going to tell you what. Whether you agree or disagree, what God did was He told Saul, you need to go and you're going to utterly destroy these people. And so He gave him the instructions. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I have noted what Amalek did to Israel and opposing them on the way when they came out of Egypt. Go now, strike Amalek, devote to destruction all that they have. Do not spare them. Now, when God gave His instruction, He did it in very plain language. And there was no misunderstanding what God had said. And so now Saul sets out to do what God had said. And the reason that God was doing this was as a punishment for the evil that the Amalekites have done. Saul is going to change the purpose of this. Saul is going to change what God said to do. Saul is going to make this an act of religion and worship unto God. And those were not the purposes and the thoughts that God had done this for. It was because it was retribution for their sin. It was a judgment for the evil that these people have done. And so God told him that he was supposed to go. Now, since it was the Amalekites and Saul showed up, Moses' father-in-law's family were the Kenites. They were with the Israelites, not against the Israelites. They were part of the family now of Moses, and so they're not under judgment. This was not an ethnic cleansing for all that were not Israel. This was a judgment of sin against the Amalekites. And therefore, he left the Kenites, who were Moses' father-in-law's people. He warned them, and he spared them, and they left the city before there was ever the attack, because he was going to destroy those in the city. And they left, and they were spared. And so what Saul did was, he devoted them to destruction. That's what God told him to do. What did that mean? That meant they're going to die. There was no sparing any of them. There was no saving alive a few of them. It was to simply devote to destruction. And yet, it's safe right there. Saul spared Agag. Now God said specifically, do not spare them. And now he has changed that, and he has spared the king and the sheep and the oxen and the calves and the lambs. All that was good, Saul spared. Now, all that was evil, he did not. He destroyed that which was weak, and he destroyed that which was deformed, and he destroyed that which was not good in their possession. He did not do what God told him to do. And because of that, he made his own choice. He has set about not to do what God said, but he's made his own rules, his own course of action. What is good, what's not good. What should die, what should not die. Who should die. And you see, he's standing in judgment of God's judgment. He is denying that what God is doing is judging these people, and he's changed the purpose now, because he's going to take that which was good of the animals and offer them in sacrifice unto God. God didn't ask for that. God told him specifically what to do. And there was a difference. He said, we've taken these to sacrifice, but all of those we destroyed. He knew the distinction. He knew that offering him in sacrifice was not the destruction that God had proclaimed. And then, in verse 21, he repeats the statement. Twice, he recognized what God said was devote to destruction, but he saved some in order to offer sacrifice, which is not the same thing. When he met Samuel, I can imagine, he just won this war. He's done what God told him to do, so he thinks. He's probably in a very good mood. Samuel, on the other hand, has been talking to God all night about this. He's out there early in the morning because he's angry that Saul didn't do what God said. Can you imagine the difference in the demeanor of these two people as they come together? And one is just extremely happy about what he has done, and the other not happy at all. And when Samuel comes there, the first thing that Saul does is greet him and say, I perform the commandment of the Lord. I have obeyed what the Lord told me to do. Interesting. Samuel, as a prophet of God, is very blunt. And God himself had told Samuel, he turned his back on me. He turned from following me. And he has not performed my commandments. So when Samuel meets Saul, he simply repeats this unto them. Samuel said, "You did not obey, but you've done that which is evil in the sight of God." And I screamed, "Time out," when I read this the first time. What do you mean he did evil? He took some of the animals and he did a religious ceremony and he offered them in sacrifice to God. And sacrifices were commanded under the Old Covenant. And as far as we know, he didn't violate any of the rules about the sacrifice. And it was done to the glory of God. And when Samuel got done, Samuel said, "No, it wasn't. It was not to the glory of God. It was evil that you have done, because you didn't do what God told you to do." Samuel then said, "Here's what you did. What you did was rebellion against God. What you did was you acted presumptuously towards God." That's a funny word. He presumed that by offering the sacrifice, God was happy. He presumed that what he wanted to do was the same thing as what God wanted him to do. He presumed that if it was acceptable to Saul, it then was acceptable to God, even though God had not asked it to be done. And when Samuel corrected that, he said, "That's rebellion. That's presumption. You rejected the word of God. God told you to do this, and you didn't do it. God said, devote all of it to destruction, and you didn't do that. You've changed it. You've done part of it. But the bottom line is, you didn't do it. You rebelled against God and rejected the word." And at that juncture, Saul now gets the picture. And Saul makes a confession. "Here's what I did when I did that. I sinned against God. I transgressed the commandment of God. I rejected the word of God." I read that, and that's a little bit frightening. But there's some very important lessons you learn there. We're under a different covenant. I understand that. And yet, whether we're talking new covenant or old covenant, we're talking about what God has asked his people to do. The old covenant was that which God asked the nation of Israel to do. And the new covenant is what Jesus now tells and asks his disciples, that's us, to do. And what God did was he revealed what he wanted. This is not about what we want. It's not about what man finds interesting and exciting and religious. God reveals how he wants us to act, live, to worship before him. Now, when God revealed that, it's understandable. God did not give us a book that is non-understandable. In fact, he expects you to understand what he is saying. I'll go a step further than that. The Apostle Paul commanded that we understand. "Be ye not ignorant, but understanding what the will of the Lord is," Ephesians chapter 5. And he's revealed what we need to know, and we can understand if we will read what he has said. And what he has commanded us, I'm not sure this is a word, but I liked it. It's doable. It's obeyable. The problem with Saul wasn't that God told him to do something that was too difficult. The problem with Saul was He didn't do what God said. The problem was, it was very plain, and he changed it. So as you begin looking at that, you begin seeing that when we take that which God has said and we change that, that is no small thing unto God. It's a small thing to the religious world in America, I'll grant you that. But it wasn't a small thing unto God, and it wasn't a small thing unto Samuel, and it was not a small thing to Saul when it was all done. It was a big deal. In fact, the words that God used in describing this ought to cause us to stand up in reverence and fear and respect to God. To change what God has said is sin. It is rebellion against God. It is rejecting what God said in order that we might do what we enjoy or want to do. And because of that, the consequences in Saul's life were absolutely devastating. The very first consequence was God said, you can't be king anymore. If you're not going to follow me, you can't lead my people. If you're not going to follow my instructions, you can't lead my people. That weighed so heavily upon Saul that his life spun out of control until he finally died. But he was wrong. He should not have done this. And we read that, and I'm going to tell you, the first time I read that, I'm going, man, that's harsh. I'm going to tell you, it is. Because we're dealing with God, not man. We're dealing with God's Word, not men. We're not just dealing with religion. We're not just dealing with that which makes us happy. And when he then did that, Jesus picked up on this same thought. When Jesus finished the Sermon on the Mount, he said, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father. Notice he didn't say everybody that is religious, or everybody that does things which they feel makes them spiritually minded. It's very pointed. Those that do the will of my Father. Or again, Jesus said in Luke 6, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I tell you to do? We have people that, much like Saul, said, I have obeyed the commandments of the Lord. And the Lord will respond, you've rejected my word. You have rebelled against me. You have not done what I have told you to do. You've done that which is evil in my sight. Much better to do what the Lord says, the way the Lord says it, when the Lord says it, be done. Jesus again in Luke chapter 11. When somebody looked at him and said, blessed is your mother. And Jesus responded, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and do it. And I'm going to tell you what, that wasn't Saul. Saul heard the word of God and did something else. Saul heard the word of God and did something religious, but it was not what God asked him to do. Again, Jesus said in John 14, if you love me, keep my commandments. Again, it's not if you love me, do something religious. If you love me, partake in some type of a church. Hear the word of God and do the word of God. When we set out to follow Jesus, we're going to be weird. Because many people in the world won't do what Jesus said. And they're like Saul, they will substitute and do what is religious, but it's rebellion against God if God has not asked us to do that. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said, "All authority has been given unto me. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded." And yet, the world is full of religion that is not what Jesus commanded. The world is full of religious practice and religious ideas that weren't commanded of God. Brethren, you can't change. We're on a course that only God can direct. And we're facing a choice. Do we follow the commandments and the teachings, or do we make up our own rules? It may sound strict. It may sound narrow-minded. It may be classified as weird to other people. But our goal is to please God. When God says, make disciples, baptizing them, we're not going to substitute some prayer that men have written. We're not going to substitute and say, just say this little prayer and you become a disciple, because that is not what the Lord said to do. You may have already done that, and I'm going to tell you, it's not what the Lord said. So we don't substitute the sinner's prayer for baptizing me in the name of the Lord. When you reject one to keep the other, you've rejected the word of the Lord. You've rebelled against God by not doing what God has said. It may be religious, but as Saul learned, being religious can be evil if it's not what God said. So I'm going to tell you, you need to think about it. You need to know what God said. You need to study your Bible. You need for the elders to demand that we walk the way Jesus said. You need to hold a preacher accountable. Is that what God said, or is that what you think? We need to stand firmly upon the book. We have a generation that don't believe that. But there's always been a generation that didn't believe that. There's always been a generation of people that would much rather be like Saul and do what was religious because they thought it would glorify God, but it wasn't what God asked to be done. Brethren, prove all things and hold to that which is good. We need to make sure we give book, chapter, and verse that which we teach and that which we practice. And if that makes us weird, then please let me be weird. But it also makes you right with God. Please be right with God. If you've never obeyed the gospel, you need to arise and be baptized. That's what God says. And being baptized, you then need to learn what God said and observe all the teachings that Jesus gave. That's what God said. Do not be like Saul, but trust and obey the Word of God. If you're willing to do that, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.